is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, the Chief Medical Officer and Coalition Party leaders are meeting this evening to discuss the spread of the new variant. Free antigen tests are being made available for school children from today. Teaching unions have criticised a different pay scale for substitute teachers in the latest emergency substitution arrangement announced by the government. And the PRO of the MICA Action Group has warned that further protests will take place if the right MICA redress scheme doesn't get over the line. Good evening. We'll also have all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly a little later on. First in news, though, the Chief Medical Officer and Coalition Party leaders are meeting this evening to discuss the spread of the new variant. 10 possible samples of the variant in Ireland have been sent for testing. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has the latest.
The Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Houlihan, has been briefing the leaders of the three coalition parties and Health Minister Stephen Donnelly since about 4 o'clock this evening. NPHET's updating government on the latest available data when it comes to the new Omicron variant. 10 possible samples of the variant in Ireland have been sent for genomic testing. Positive tests from people with a travel history over the past 2 weeks were examined, and these tests were flagged as ones of potential concern, though the results are not yet known. The leaders are expected to discuss whether any further restrictions on travel into Ireland are required, though it's likely any decisions to be made will be deferred to tomorrow's cabinet meeting.
Free antigen tests are being made available for school children today. They will be provided to parents whose child is in a pod with a student who has tested positive for COVID-19. Children within the pod can continue to go to school once they don't have symptoms and received a negative test result. The Department of Health says the decision to do antigen testing with a child is completely up to parents and guardians. Deputy President of the Irish Primary Principals Network, Louise Tobin, says parents will be given a free phone number to call.
So then the text message would go out to the children that we identify that were in the pod, and that would give them the free phone number, and they can ring this number and they can ask for the antigen test to be sent out. I believe they're going to get 5, and they would do a test day 1, day 3 and day 5.
Teaching unions have criticised a different pay scale for substitute teachers in the latest emergency substitution arrangement announced by the government. Both the ASTI and TUI have raised their concerns over the pay proposals, which they say will see some substitutes paid at different rates. The Association of Secondary Teachers in Ireland says the Education Minister has wasted an opportunity to equalise payments across the two pay scales. The daughter of a Donegal woman has been left stranded in South Africa. Joanne Sweeney's daughter Sophie travelled to South Africa last Wednesday to attend a friend's wedding. She was due to fly home today. However, all flights out of the country have been grounded due to the emergence of the new variant. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Joanne says the advice being issued by the Irish Embassy is to just keep booking flights.
She went last Wednesday morning for a friend's wedding in Johannesburg and was actually due to leave South Africa today. Her flight was cancelled on Thursday with Air France, and she booked a second flight with another airline and going via Istanbul, due to come back on Thursday, and then yesterday that was cancelled.
Is she okay over there? I mean, she was over travelling there for a wedding, so she's with people, but I'm just thinking, you know, if she didn't have that, how would, or she didn't have access to money or whatever, is there any support being offered over there?
No. She travelled on her own, but fortunately she's staying with the bride and groom. Mm. So she's in a bubble. She's absolutely fine. She doesn't have the worry of hotel bills or being thrown out on the street. But no, there's no supports. I mean, she took this trip on her own. She did spend extra money on another flight that was subsequently cancelled, but she will get her money back, but whenever. It won't be today or tomorrow. When she got notified that her flight was cancelled, her first outreach was not to me. It was to the Irish Embassy in Pretoria seeking consular help, and their advice to her was book another flight. There are lots of commercial flights available, but keep in touch with us. She reached out to me and said, don't be cross, but I need your help. I did outreach to the Department of Foreign Affairs and to Minister Coveney. The other route, the embassy did say to her on Sunday, please continue to keep buying other flights. But it feels like something that maybe is, I don't know if it's good advice. That is the advice currently. But we know that flights out of South Africa, you can buy them, but they are being cancelled 2 days from departure.
1,464 new coronavirus cases have been recorded in the north in the past 24 hours. There have been 4 additional COVID-related deaths. 340 patients are being treated for the disease in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 28 in ICU. The PRO of the MICA Action Group has warned that further protests will take place if the Right MICA redress scheme doesn't get over the line. Further details of the revised redress scheme have been leaked, which include an increased cap of €420,000, as well as a €38 per square foot, which falls short of estimates that cost it a requirement of €150. A stipulation is also expected to be included, which requires rental properties to have been registered with the RTB as of the 1st of November. Michael Doherty says if what's been leaked is ratified by Cabinet tomorrow, the MICA Action Group will be rejecting the government's proposals.
We will not be supporting something that is going to be so detrimental to so many people. We will be rejecting it outright. We will be recommending that people do not apply to the scheme and boycott the scheme. We'll be also looking at escalating our protests in Dublin to a much greater degree than anything Dublin has seen before. We all said all along, if this government wasn't prepared to do the right thing by its people, we would be actively engaging and ensuring there's a different government to have a go at it the next time.
A Donegal councillor has reiterated his intention to sue the state over the planned MICA redress scheme. Councillor Frank McBertie says both he and his father, Frank Senior, have homes which cost around €1 million each, both affected by MICA. He says if the leaks are correct, the government's plan will fall well short of covering their costs, and many others will be in the same boat. He says the expense will go far beyond the cost of reconstruction.
This scheme does not cover everybody's homes, because it only gives you some money towards doing remedial works. Now, all these properties in Donegal must be demolished. And that's not me saying that. That's Engineers Ireland. And that's commentators like Dr. Ambrose McCluskey who are saying this, who are consulting engineers.
A number of local representatives have raised concern over the Donegal County Development Plan. The new draft plan was before the latest sitting of Donegal County Council today, where members debated a proposed variation in respect of a wind energy policy framework. Some councillors expressed reservations about the variation, with guarantees sought that communities would be protected going forward. It was also proposed that landslide studies would take place in tandem with any proposed future wind farm developments. Councillor Gary Doherty says the 10 times tip height policy must remain.
There was a judicial review taken by those developers that unfortunately the council voted in 2018 not to oppose, which left us in the situation where we had a gap in our wind farm guidelines and policies in the development plan. So I think it's really important that we get that gap filled and make sure that any wind farm development in the county is only on a sustainable format, and where communities want them, and where these wind farms and the turbines are set back from areas of human habitation.
Do you feel that there is a need for more onshore wind farms going forward?
Well, I think there's a wider point about wind energy, particularly in Donegal, because I think our county has reached saturation point with onshore wind farms. And personally, I think we need to be looking at other options for sustainable, renewable energy sources, whether that be offshore or hydro, or the various different options that are there. The wind farm development and wind farms, I think there's very few people that are opposed to wind farms in principle, but they need to be in areas where they're not causing anger and division within communities who don't want them. There are there's huge opposition to wind farms in Donegal. We know that because when they're placed close to houses and close to areas of human habitation, they can cause significant concerns, whether that's due to noise, infrasound, shadow flicker, and the impact just that they would have on people's houses. And that's why we, as councillors, had voted on the policy of 10 times tip height a number of years ago. And that's what I proposed that we carry on with today.
Meanwhile, Donegal County Council has authorised the taking out of a €2 million loan by officials from the Housing Finance Agency. A number of members raised questions about interest rates before the measure was approved. The money will be used to provide housing loans to approved applicants. A man who pleaded guilty last week to charges arising from an investigation into the attempted murder of three men outside a Dublin pub will be sentenced next month. Alan Wilson, with a last address at New Street Gardens in Dublin 8, initially went on trial for the attempted murders, but his pleas to lesser charges were accepted by the DPP. Court's correspondent Frank Graney has more.
On July 26, 2010, the doorman and two patrons of the Players' Lounge pub in Dublin 3 were shot by a masked man armed with two guns. Alan Wilson became a suspect following a separate investigation into the Kinhin organised crime group when he was heard admitting to the shooting while chatting to another man in a vehicle that had been bugged by Gardaí. After initially denying it was his voice, he later admitted saying it, but put his comments down to bravado, claiming he hadn't actually shot them and was just trying to impress his friend. He does now accept he was involved in the conspiracy to carry out what the prosecution described as something that bore all the hallmarks of an organised hit. He accepts he played a role in the organisation and planning of it and claims he was acting on the instructions of a dissident Republican group. He'll be sentenced next month. Frank Graney, the Special Criminal Court.
A public consultation process is underway in an all-island strategic rail review. Ministers from both sides of the border announced the move today. Transport Minister Eamon Ryan says they want to hear views on how rail can support social and economic development across the island. He's encouraging all interested parties to participate in shaping the outcome of this important review.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Yes, it is time for all the latest in sport. We say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We start with Cross Channel Soccer. Ralph Ragnick says all of his efforts for the next 6 months will be focused on fulfilling the potential of the Manchester United players. The German has been confirmed as United's interim manager until the end of the season. Ragnick will move on to a consultancy role once his permanent replacement is appointed. Well, the FAI board are discussing the contract of Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny. The board have gathered in person for the first time during the pandemic with several items on the agenda. On top of the pile is Ireland's World Cup qualification campaign. Kenny could be offered a short-term extension through the six-match Nations League tournament that finishes next September, or a new deal up to Euro 2024 in Germany. On the DL debate this evening here in Highland, Brendan Devaney will be joined by senior managers of the county, Declan Bonner and Maxi Kern. Players, of course, can return to inter-county training as from Wednesday week, December the 8th. Declan Bonner's job is to get them ready for a busy season schedule and be contenders once again for the Ulster Championship.
There's no reason Brendan White cannot be us. You know, as I keep saying, small margins, and Tyrone, I think from that game against us, it definitely gave them energy. It definitely gave them real belief that they could move on, and they've done that. And, you know, they were quite ruthless in how they went about it, and ultimately they deserved to win their All-Ireland. And but as I say, we'll just be taking it next season. It's going to be game on game, and we've got to get ready and get as many of these players back on the pitch in the proper condition going into 2022. And if we do that and if we get the players back, as I say, we will have a chance. But it's going to be a really competitive season, and you know, I suppose it's one everyone has to be looking forward to be quite honest.
That's Declan Bonner. There'll be more from Declan and Maxi Kern, plus Eugene Organ and Kevin Gallagher tonight on the DEL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney, available on highlandradio.com. And of course, we'll air it just after the 7 o'clock news as well. Elsewhere in Gaelic games, Downings will play Sean McDermott's of Monaghan in the semi-final of the Ulster Junior Club Championship after they came through against Aulnathanafan of Down 11 points to 7 in Park Esther and Uri on Sunday. Larkin Connor was the star of the show for the Downings men as he fired over 6 points. Leading by example from the middle of the field was Oisin Boyce.
The foundations were laid in the first half. I mean, we had Larkin and Johnny, and they were flying inside, and Larkin probably, I don't think he had a wide all day. In the first half, he was getting out in front of his man, turned bang, winning frees, you know, doing everything you want your inside forwards to do. So we had a good lead in the first half, but we have a lot to work on going forward. We kind of let that slip away a bit in a second, let them creep in, whereas we should have put it to bed earlier. But all just happy to get over the line now, and Ulster semi-final in 2 weeks, look forward to.
Moving to motorsport, Donegal's Gary McElhinney has finished second overall on the five-day Roger Albert Clark Historic Rally in England. McElhinney was calling the notes for Seb Perez in a Ford Escort Mark II. After 31 stages, they finished over 4 minutes down on the winner, Ryan Champion, in a Porsche 911. The Irish pairing of Adrian Hetherington and Ronan O'Neill were third in the RS1800 Escort. It was a weekend full of historic rallying, with Clarny also hosting their popular annual event. It was won by Craig Breen and Paul Nagel in the BMW M3. And in a similar car, Donegal's Donagh Kelly and Rory Kennedy finished in fourth position. They were just under 30 seconds ahead of Donagh's son Eamon Kelly and Paddy McCrudden in a Ford Escort. Donegal's Kevin Eaves and Chris Smellie finished second in the modified section. Shane Lowry is one of seven of Europe's Ryder Cup team that will play next year's Saudi International, putting them on a collision course with their home tours. The players are among 25 revealed by organisers of the event, which will be played from the 3rd to the 6th of February. Their participation puts them in conflict with the PGA and the DP World Tours, who have indicated they will not provide releases to their players, which may lead to fines or suspensions. Lowry is joined by major winners Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnston, Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson and Jason Duffner, as well as Olympic champion Xander Schauffele. Finally, in rugby, academy manager Ian Costello has been tasked with beginning Munster's preparations for the upcoming Heineken Champions Cup. He must work with academy players and select returning internationals ahead of the December 12th trip to Wasps. Munster remain in South Africa this evening as they await results from a round of PCR tests before they can return home. One member of the travelling party is isolating in a different hotel, having tested positive for COVID-19. Players and staff will have to isolate for 10 days upon their return to the country. That's your sport, Catherine.
Thanks, Oisin. Returning to news now, almost €500,000 in funding has been granted for greenways and mountain trails in Donegal. €200,000 has been granted to continue the Muckish Greenway along the Letterkenny to Burton Port railway line, while €270,000 is being invested in the upgrade of the Slieve League mountain trail. In welcoming the news, Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh praised the work of local community groups working on the projects. He says the funding will go towards building upon Donegal's tourism offering.
It's about connecting the dots, and there's a number of plans for greenways. And look, if you look at the work already started on the Burton Port side of the greenway up to Muckish and the station house in Fulcara, and all the work that was done on a sectional basis over a long number of years, that now is starting to come together. And even yesterday when I was there, I was meeting people on electric bikes who are able to do the loop now from Dunfanaghy through Fulcara, back over through the Muckish section and back around again. So look, it's all about adding to it. Our tourism product is a product now that everybody knows about in Ireland, and I've got a deeper understanding of it over the last couple of years through COVID and through home tourism. So now it's about continuing to build that, and whether it's new greenway sections in the Carrigart to Downing's loop, for example, and other elements in the cross-border greenway as well on the Inishowen side. So it's a significant investment today, but it's a building on the building blocks that are already there.
Two motorists have been caught speeding in South Donegal over the weekend. Gardaí from Donegal Town were conducting speed checks yesterday and issued a fixed charge penalty notice to a driver who was detected travelling at 124 kilometres per hour in a 100 zone on the N15. Another driver was issued with a fixed charge penalty notice after being detected travelling at 80 kilometres per hour in a 50 zone in the Pettigo area. Both drivers will now receive a fine of €80 and 3 penalty points. Finally, for this evening, Donegal has the lowest per capita proportion of its population in jail, according to figures which have been released today. The Donegal figure of 42 is just over half the national average. With more, here's Owen Murphy.
Last year, just under 5,300 people were sent to prisons throughout the country. Nationally, an average of 89 people per 100,000 population were jailed in 2020. A breakdown based on the home addresses of the criminals shows which counties have the highest and lowest rates of imprisonment. Longford is the highest at 109 per 100,000 population. Garda David Conroy from the Garda Representative Association is stationed in County Longford.
We put it down to the increase in the density of the population in the county and the number of high levels of feuding in recent years in the county, but minimal Garda numbers resulting in some serious offences being detected by very few Gardaí are at breaking point at this stage. It's being roared and shouted about Dublin city centre, but everybody seems to have forgotten about the country and where Garda numbers are minimal. Basically, we're providing fire brigade service.
The next most law-breaking county is Limerick, with a rate of 187. Then it's Dublin at 118, while Wexford, Louth and Carlow also have rates of over 100. Donegal is the most law-abiding county in the country, with a rate of just 42. The next lowest rates were Mayo, Leitrim and Offaly.
Staying cloudy for the rest of the day with outbreaks of light rain or drizzle. Tonight will be cloudy and rather mild with patches of light rain or drizzle too. Most persistent in coastal areas with lowest temperatures of 7 to 9 degrees. Closing headlines now. The Chief Medical Officer and coalition party leaders are meeting this evening to discuss the spread of the new variant. The PRO of the MICA Action Group has warned that further protests will take place if the right MICA redress scheme doesn't get over the line. And teaching unions have criticised a different pay scale for substitute teachers in the latest emergency substitution arrangement announced by government. That's it for now. We're back with the headlines for you at 6. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 29th of November. The death has taken place of Brian Gallagher, 26, Beechwood Road, Letterkenny, and formerly of Glencar Scotch. His remains will repose at his late residence from 8:30 this evening, with family and close friends welcome. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, with burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family Flowers Only, please, donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of Joe Logue Funeral Directors or any family member. The death has taken place of Patsy Hagen, Maharard, Glenvar. His remains will repose at his sister Kathleen and Danny McFay's residence from 6 o'clock this evening. House strictly private to family only, please. Funeral mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Glenvar, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Maurice Boyle, Fanmore, Falkara. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in St Finian's Graveyard, Falkara. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Rosary nightly at 9. Family, close friends and neighbours welcome. Family time, please, from 11pm to 11am. Family Flowers Only, please, donations if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or James Harkin, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of John Thompson, Ballybrack, Moville. His remains are reposing at his brother Anthony and Alice's home at 1 Binavenue View, Ballybrack. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11 for 11:30 Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ballybrack, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family Flowers Only, please, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Mary McAlinney, Conn, Ballantreave, Drumfries. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, going to St Mary's Church, Cockhill, Buncrana, for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Patsy Quinn, 4 St Mary's Place, Strabane. Funeral from his home tomorrow morning at 10:25 for Requiem Mass at 11 in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Melmount. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to cancer research, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. House private to family and friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Edward Grant, 22, Castle Park, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his residence with family, friends and neighbours welcome. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Buncrana Nursing Unit, care of any family member. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.